Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Diversity in culture, diversity in race is a good gift. It's a good gift from God. We all like, don't we, going either overseas and enjoying a whole different culture, or maybe even going to the city here and going to Lygon Street or wherever it might be, whatever your favourite place is, and just enjoying something that's not your culture. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good gift from God, and we should love it, and we should thank Him for it. However, division is everywhere. We don't have to look far. We don't have to look a long way to see it. We've seen it on an international scale just last week, where a guy who held a different political view than some people went out and killed over 70 people. Defenseless targets are people who held different political views. Division. A political barrier that he so wrongly thought he could crush by killing people. And it's only caused further division, hasn't it? Pain. We see division on a national level here in Australia. Australia's history of treatment of Aboriginal men and women and children has caused deep division. Gaping wounds, if you'd like, have opened up, and they're full of pus and blood, and they're hurting, and it's still there today. It's open, and it's an infected wound. Now we see it even locally, division. We see the wound. We see it in families who can't come together for Christmas because of past hurt. No forgiveness. The wound's still open. They won't get together. If he's there or she's there, I'm not going to be there. We see division, don't we? Even in marriages. A separation, divorce, it's a gaping wound. And so when I look at these first two verses in today's reading, if you've got your Bibles open, that's excellent. Verse 11 and 12, that's what I see. I think that's what we're meant to see. It's a gaping wound. Separation. It's infected. It's full of pus and blood, and it needs to be healed. Maybe just let read these words together. The Gentiles, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Friends, this is a picture of estrangement. It's a picture of alienation, separation. The Gentiles, that is a people from ethnically diverse nations, are not citizens of Israel. They're not part of God's family. And so there's division between God's people, and there's division between the Gentiles. And there's division between the Gentiles and God. It's a gaping wound, and it's open, and it's infected. And these last few words sum up the Gentiles' position. They were without hope. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation without hope. Oh, man. I think I've touched on it before. And without God in the world. It's a grim picture, don't you think? Alienated, separated, and without hope and without God in the world. A gaping wound, division. It's a dire situation indeed. However, we look to the end of the passage, and something amazing has happened. The wound has been closed over perfectly. The infection has gone. It's a story of reconciliation. It's a story of healing. Let's read it together. So the Gentiles, consequently, this is verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. You're now with them. And members of God's household. The wound has been healed. No longer are Gentiles alienated, but they are now part of his household. And so we have this, if you can, it's not a great vision to have in your mind, but I think it'll help. We have a gaping wound of division, separation and estrangement from God. But we come to the end and it's healed. But this wound is open. I remember as a boy, 15-year-old boy, I was hiking with five other guys and we were walking through a paddock and we got to the gate and I like trying to be the alpha male sometimes. Jane knocks me down often. Most people do. It's not hard. Anyway, I got to the gate in this fence and I went to open it and I couldn't get through. And so I said, all right, men, not Ben, boys, I'll climb over. We've got to climb over. And I had a 20-kilo pack on my back. And so I straddled the fence and I got onto the top and my backpack started to sort of slide off my shoulders and it pulled me down the other side of the fence. But the fence had barbed wire on the top. All right? And so I slipped. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? The leg caught on the fence. I'm hanging there. All right, my mates are laughing. And I'm hanging there and I fall and the wound is ripped. You know when, and doctor, I mean, most of you know, it just split. Skin, when it's tight, just split straight open, straight across the back of my calf. Fell on the ground. Not that much blood, but pretty ordinary looking. My mates took photos of it. Anyway, after this, my mate, the next guy went, oh, I'll just go up to the gate. He gets to the gate, lifts up the lock and walks through. So I just wasn't not too smart, but just wanted to get it done. Anyway, here I was with this gaping wound, but not the end of the story, of course. I go and see a surgeon, a doctor, and he stitches it back together. I've still got a big scar back on my calf, but he stitched it back together and I was healed. I was healed. But friends, what heals this wound in today's reading? We know it is done, but what actually does it? What heals the gaping wound? This wound of division between God's people and the Gentiles, and between the Gentiles and God. Actually, even the Jews as well, but anyway. Friends, this morning, I want us to focus on what that meat in the sandwich is. If we've got these two bookends, I want to focus on what is in the middle. What is it? And I actually think it's what God wants us to focus on this morning. For in these few verses, 13 through to 18, it's the crux of it. He wants us to focus on the wound healer, on the surgeon, the one who doesn't put a band-aid across, the one who heals. He wants us to focus on the Son of God's death. For it is in the death, of the Son of God that we are healed, that the wound is covered over perfectly, no scar like on my calf. Perfect. Not only did the Son of God die, but, and this is actually really important to remember, it's a big but, he died by design. It was planned. He had a design. It was deliberate. For the cross is so powerful. The cross is so powerful, friends. You might have known him your whole life and maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you've never known him. The cross is so powerful. It's like a black hole. You know, black holes, they suck in everything. Anything that gets near it, everything it touches, just in terms of mass. It's strong. It sucks in everything. That's what the cross does. It touches everything. Everything. All of life. Every part of you. It touches and it sucks in. So if you're getting close to the cross of Jesus, you're getting close to everything. For friends, everything is touched by it. And it's so big. It's so amazing. It's so wonderful. It's beyond our comprehension. I can't do justice to it. And I can't even do justice to it in this small sermon that I'm giving. I can't. It's so big. However, I'm going to give it a go. Just a little go. The Son of God died. And he died by design, and he died for a reason. And we're told, I just want to focus on a few little verses just sprinkled throughout this chapter that I just want to touch on. But I want the one big point to be remembered. So when you get in the car and you drive home, you remember it. And when your family says, what did the minister say? You can remember it, all right? This is the first one. Christ died for a reason, and this is it. It says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You pick it up? The blood, the word blood's important. Blood is the cross. People who were far away, because of the death of Christ on a cross, are brought close to God. The alienated, marginalized, brought close. Those who are far from God are brought near through Jesus because of his death and because of his resurrection. Although this chapter doesn't talk about that, so I'm not going to focus so much on that. Through the blood of Jesus. And if you want to know him, you have to come through the cross. It's one thing to say, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. We can just say, that's easy. You've got to know what it means. What's the cross done? It's central to our faith. If you're a mature Christian here today, and you're sitting here and you can't answer that, you need to know it. And you need to be able to answer it. Why did Christ die? For on the cross, there was a reconciliation between a holy and a just God. A good, merciful, perfect, nothing wrong God, perfect. And a rebellious, sinful, divided humanity. So it brings the far near. Second reason I want to focus on why Jesus died was to destroy barriers and hostility. Verse 14 of 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Do you see it there? The word flesh, the cross. On the cross. He destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall, the hostility. Gone. Destroyed on the cross. And there is a hostility, friends, between the perfect God and humankind. In the fall, we rebelled against him, and it is natural for us to continue to do it. It's not natural for us. We want to run away from him. He's light. He's perfect. We can't look at him. We rebel against him. Now, a lot can be said in this passage. Just these few verses, actually. I mean, this is a six-week sermon right here. But I think what I want to think... I want to talk about what it means to abolish the law. All right, now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper, but I just want you to hold... Just stick with me. It's about a minute, all right? God made the law good. It was a good thing. He made it to help the people of God act like God. And so the people from other nations would be drawn to God's people. And so, being drawn to God's people, they'd be drawn to God. That was the idea. It was good. But in our human sin, in our pride, in our fallenness, in their fallenness, if you read the Old Testament, the Israelites rebelled, wanted to be like the other nations instead of being like God's people. Set up boundaries that weren't there to show people how to love, but use them in a way of pride and of hostility instead of acceptance and love. It's a good gift of the law. By God it was given, and it was made to reconcile nations, reconcile, bring them together under the one true God. That's what the law was. However, in human pride, it caused division and hostility. Now, just stick with me. At this point, it is also crucial to remember the context of this book. And Rod's been preaching on it. The context of this book is this. The Ephesian church and us as Christians are in a battle, a cosmic spiritual battle against the principalities and powers of this world, against Satan and his henchmen. That's the battle that's going on in the book. What's it called again? Forgotten. The Drama of Ephesians. I'm reading it. Thomas Gombas, who's the author, talks about that. We need to understand that context all the time. And so Christ on the cross dealt a death blow to the principalities and the powers, the darkness of this world. These powers hijacked a good law and made it to tie up and bind God's people. And he does it today. Ties and bounds and confuses. This is not truth. We can't be united around anything but truth. I'll get to a bit more about that later. But he bound us up and it confuses us. But on the cross we see perfection, where that's smashed, that dividing wall, smashed by Jesus. And so the Lord's a good gift from God that throughout Israel's history was used poorly and division was the result. Third and final point that I want to make. Jew and Gentile are brought together. Not just the vertical relationship is brought together between a sinful humankind and a perfect God, but horizontally it's done as well. And we'll pick that up in verse 16. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. All right, so Gentile and Jew brought together, making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, through the flesh, through the blood of Jesus, by which he put to death their hostility. In his death, he reconciled Jew and Gentile. And this division, friends, just remember this, it was deep. It was racial, ethnic, it was religious, it was putrid. Putrid. Not only is the death of the Son of God reconciling people to God vertically, but as verse 18 tells us, through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. I've used this illustration a few times, but we went, Jane and I, and we took a group of people up over about 5 or 6 years to northern Queensland, up to an Aboriginal community there, a place called Yarrabah, which I often speak fondly about it because that had such an impact. And it hit me so hard when I was there. And the first time we went up, we took 10 kids up there, and we got there and they were celebrating something like 110 years or 20 years or something of the gospel coming to Yarrabah, of God, the death of the Son of God being told in Yarrabah. And I remember But he had the service in the church. And from there, these Aboriginal ministers, they were decked up in their robes, something that we'd never do. But anyway, they end up walking down to the beach. And down to the beach there, they've got a cross. And there they remember. That was where the gospel first came. A guy called Ernest Gribble, I think his name was, a 24-year-old guy from England coming to live in an Aboriginal community. And there they remember the gospel that brought healing to that place. And one of the older ladies, who'd have been close to 90, I can't even think of her name, she gave after they prayed a little talk. And she said, "I thank the Lord Jesus that he came to Yarrabah. As much as there's been problems culturally, I thank him because it kept my family together because they were killing each other. And the gospel came in and it smashed it, that hostility, and it unified a people. And I remember the elders, the pastors there saying to me, "Brother, don't worry, mate, we are one in Christ now. No black and white, James," they'd say to me. "We're forgiven yous," they'd say to me. One people under Christ. Not different. They've still got all their cultural stuff. That I'm white and I live in Melbourne and they're black and they live in northern Queensland. But we're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Good diversity coming underneath Jesus Christ. Saving a people. Now Paul writes, "There's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The Jew and Gentile separation no longer, brought together." It was cultural, religious, social and racial. Not Rachel. She's leaving today, actually. Wasn't you, Rachel? I don't think it was. Was it? No. Okay. Friends, I want to finish with this, these last few verses. "In him, the whole thing, whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." He lives in us. We are members. We are built together at Deep Creek Anglican Church under Jesus Christ, who is the capstone, the cornerstone. He's the minister. We're under him. He's number one in this place. He holds it together. All of us. And I know there's a whole range of different cultures out there and people from all different languages and different places. And I know it's all there. And we're all united together under him. And I get sick of people saying to me, "You don't have to come to church to be a Christian." That's not what Ephesians says. It's corporate. Don't miss the corporate part of this. We're a group of people, are called to come together, because it's one thing to believe that Jesus died for you and to say that's fantastic. But if we don't act it out, well, we're not really doing the job. We're not living as Christians. Because this is what Christ came to achieve. This is his work, his plan. For us to be united as a people, not individual sitting in our house and not coming together as God's people. I'm preaching to the converted, of course. But it's true. This is corporate. We're here because of him and what he did 2,000 years ago. If you want the cross to be lifted up, lift it up. If you want it magnified, if you want to boast in it, as Paul says, in Galatians, you want to boast, then come together under Jesus, because the cross brings it all together. It smashes down everything. It sucks in everything. And it changes everyone from the inside out. It's only through Jesus it can happen. He is the only one who can heal the deep wounds of division. He is the surgeon. And he heals the wounds. And he leaves no scars. For he is the wounded healer. As he himself bears the wounds in his own hands for you. On the cross, he takes it. So you don't have to. So the design of the cross is to bring healing, to bring reconciliation between races, cultures, families, husband and wives, brothers and sisters. And it only happens through that cross. And unless we pursue the design of the cross for the reconciliation of humanity, of us with God, then we're hypocrites. How are people healed? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through him and through his cross. Are we at Deep Creek living with kingdom values, being instruments of that peace, being part of God's handiwork, forgiving family members who have wounded us? Forgiveness is hard because you want the other person to feel as bad as you. And it's giving that up and saying, no, God, you're judge. You're perfect and I'm not. Giving it to him. Laying it at the foot of the cross. Maybe it's a whole nation that has hurt you. Give it to Jesus. Are we... This is the challenge which I talked about in the notices, and I did it with a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but it's so serious. Evangelism is so important. It's so important that people come to be saved. Not just because they're saved, and that's awesome, and there's a party that happens every time one sinner comes to faith in Jesus. It's wonderful. But what does he do? He brings them into he brings people into a relationship with him vertically, and then he works on the person. The great surgeon goes to work. And families are brought together. If you follow out that great command of loving God and loving your neighbour, he heals and he brings shalom, true peace. True peace. And so it's critical that we pray for this. It's critical for the world. It's critical for Melbourne and it's critical for East Doncaster right here. It's critical that we pray for evangelism, that people come into a saving faith in Jesus. Not so the numbers are good at Deep Creek. It's so people come and families and the world is restored, unified and changed. It can only happen through Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's the power, and he gives us the job of telling people. It's a wonderful thing. And so the challenge of maybe bringing someone back to church Sunday, September the 11th. Is that going to be a 1-hour service? Probably going to preach for 55 minutes of it. It's a joke. Probably. It's going to be, though, bring them along because they get to hear about Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the great reconciler, the great surgeon. Imagine the person that God has already put in your mind to invite to Alpha, and you've gone, oh, no, not that person, I'll go to the next. that person, the first one. All right. Imagine them coming to faith in Jesus, all right, and having them restored and changed. Imagine that. And now the first thought that then comes to our mind, oh, I can't do that because I'm hopeless at inviting and I just can't do it. Making disciples of all nations, can't do it. All right. Well, you can't, but God can. Because he never leaves you and his Holy Spirit is in you and he empowers you. And he stitches and helps bring people into reconciliation. That's what he does. And so act out of the imagination that God has given you to see people come to faith. Not out of past experience. I asked Freddie and he said no. Good. I hope we get heaps of no's. All of us. No, 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 no. That's not failure, friends. We want it to be a culture where that happens. Heaps of no's. It's okay. It's all right to fail. It's not fail. It's actually just doing the job. God does it, you see. It's not you. Not that important. God is. He does the work. The cross of Jesus. So what do you want to remember? That's all about the cross of Jesus. And he reconciles a divided humanity by destroying sin and dealing a death blow to the powers and principalities. And the call is for us to live in that reality, being reconciled by Jesus, united with people through him. Humanity was and is divided, but he's being reconciled through the death, the blood of the Son of God. Let me pray.